Next on BYUSN, Cougar football bears down on Arizona. Another big result in front of Big Noon kickoff. Our Monday headlines with BYU still unbeaten and bowl eligible. Following Saturday's win, BYU moves up just one spot in the AP poll. What? Where should the Cougars be ranked in the national spotlight right now?
Come on. It's another Mattich Monday as ESPN's Trevor Mattich breaks down the win over Arizona. Should BYU be the Big 12 favorite right now? How big are his blue goggles? Plus, we have a shakeup on our Big 12 Pick'em leaderboard after another weekend of chaos in the not-all-state Big 12.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Hey!
For the sixth game in a row.
6-0, baby!
It's another winning Monday.
Come on! Let's go!
Happy October 14th, indeed. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who is happy to jump out of a seat right there. And also, as always, kind of thought about jumping out of a helicopter, Jerem Jordan.
Cosmo is the best. He continues to prove why he is the best by jumping out of a plane, parachuting into Big Noon kickoff, flying through that ring of fire, jumping over four dudes, and then, of course, doing push-ups on the church tables underneath the stage. So Cosmo and then backflip. Yeah, Cosmo is the greatest. I love Cosmo almost as much as I love my children. And he's the best. He did a great job at Big Noon kickoff.
What other mascot can do half of what Cosmo did on Saturday morning?
Nobody.
I was trying to think of a mascot in collegiate athletics that can even do one of those stunts.
And interesting, that can dance with the Cougarettes, by the way. They were back after the first quarter. No one is like Cosmo. He's the greatest.
Who can play with fire and not get burned?
Right? Twirling it. And I was like, is the suit going to catch on fire? What's going on?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Hey, people are happy for good reason.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
It is an unbelievable time for BYU football.
People were happy Friday night and Saturday afternoon, Spence. They were happy at both.
Yes, they were.
Yeah.
It was a glorious weekend all around, Jerem.
Yeah. I went to Imagine Dragons, saw Heather Olmstead was there, the women's volleyball coach, getting texts about what's going on during a certain game. So, yeah, life's good. Life's good right now.
Then you woke up and watched Cosmo do his thing, and then you watched BYU do their thing.
Yeah. Only bummer was women's volleyball losing another fifth set.
No.
Besides
we're not worried about that.
Everything's great.
All rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
14th-ranked Cougs today hosting the Arizona Wildcats, conference foes from long ago. BYU's a winner 41-19. Cougs go to 6-0. The Cougs are bowl eligible.
Indeed, unbeaten and bowl eligible. Wow. Then number 14 BYU beats up on Arizona 41-19. Now the Cougars are number 13 as they improve to 6 wins and no losses. We'll get into more of that in just a moment, but first, let's just discuss the game as a standalone subject, because BYU's defense was remarkable again. 4 takeaways, and that resulted in 24 points for BYU. It felt like a Kansas State light for BYU there early in the second half. Jerem, what are your takeaways specifically from the defense?
I feel like we have at least 4 takeaways for 4 takeaways on Saturday. The defense continues to be amazing. 4 takeaways, like you mentioned. It was awesome. The best of it, Tanner Wall, like, oh my gosh, just tiptoeing, cradling that ball. Isaiah Glasker forcing the fumble. Harrison Taggart could have picked that up and run it in, by the way. And then, of course, Isaiah Glasker with the pick six. At the very end, just the cherry on top. I think the best one was Jacob Robinson, though.
Easily.
Blitz off the corner, tips it to himself. By the way, when he's in the air, kind of hangs there, and then he has to go a little higher
after
he's jumped.
Yeah.
Then tips it to himself. Oh, man. Just if this defense continues to take the ball away like this, they forced more than, 2-plus is the average. Special things are possible. It is contingent on that because you just cripple the opposing defense in a way that's incredible. So BYU's 24 points off the turnovers. Come on. They're now 55-3-3 in points off turnovers this year. Like, they're not allowing the other team to get points off of BYU's offensive giveaways. And then when they take it away, the offense is scoring points. You look at 2 of the 3 Big 12 games, 21-24 points. That's how you're going to win. That's how BYU actually competes for a Big 12 title. That's how you actually make the playoff. If you continue to do this and the offense combines to not really give it away, Hinkley Ropati's fumble is in kind of garbage time. You're up big. It's not a big deal.
Maybe like, obviously, a little bit weird.
Obviously, but yeah, it could have gotten weird. It didn't get weird. That it didn't hurt you that bad. BYU's defense is putting BYU in position to do something incredible. They're number 5 in defensive efficiency with ESPN FPI right now. Amazing.
Yet BYU is not a top 25 team in ESPN's football power index still.
Kind of weird.
So I'm not sure exactly how that works.
Does it take into account preseason something? Like, based on what BYU's actually done, why aren't they top 15?
Fair question. Makes me question the metric at least a little bit.
You got to ask Paul Saban of BYU guy. Yeah,
what's that? What's going on, man?
What's up, Paul? What's going on?
Why doesn't the math like BYU in that certain index? Yeah. But again, we can talk more about that later.
6-0.
Let's revel in the turnovers for sure. And there was this feeling in the stadium because BYU's first drive had stalled out. Arizona marched down the field and scored a rather easy touchdown.
95-yard drive.
And then BYU scored on a great pass from Jake Retzlaff to Parker Kingston. But there was like this uneasy feeling in the stands of, oh no, it's 7-7 early. Is this thing going to turn into a shootout? Because that's what favors Arizona. And then Tanner Wall made a play that changed everything.
Yeah.
Interception at the half-yard line. And then what does BYU do?
They go 99
and a half yards.
Wow.
And score to take a lead.
That's amazing.
So that Jacob Robinson's interception was the best defensive play, the best of the four turnovers. But that play by Tanner Wall changed everything. Mm-hmm. It got the ball rolling in the direction that BYU wanted it.
And Parker Kingston gets the second touchdown, the pass to L.J. Martin, which, by the way,
I thought it was going to get intercepted.
Right? L.J. did a nice job of catching that ball. If you look at the pictures, he catches the top of the ball.
Yeah, on the back half of the ball.
Like, what? That almost dropped. Got over the safety just enough. Parker Kingston has thrown 4 passes in his BYU career. 3 are for touchdowns. 99 yards. Is he the greatest quarterback in BYU history? I'm just kidding. Parker is awesome. The great Roy High School quarterbacks, Jim McMahon, I should say passers, and Parker Kingston. Mm-hmm. All we need is Parker to punt, and then he kind of is like Jim McMahon.
Oh, outstanding stuff. Hey, not surprisingly, we had some amazing reaction post-game from Kalani Sitake and several of his players. We've been talking about the turnovers and turning those turnovers into points, which Parker did after Tanner Wall's interception.
Yep.
Here is Coach Sitake speaking about the quartet of takeaways by BYU's defense.
The crazy thing, if you just do your job, we can create some havoc, and we can get some turnovers. And that's what we want to do on defense. And then on offense, we just got to finish drives.
That has been the message all year from BYU's staff. We've heard this multiple times. If you do your job, there will be takeaways and havoc. So people are like, how are they doing this? The coaches are saying, we're just asking them to do their job, and then the results will show you that if you do your job, then you create havoc and you get your takeaways. And that is happening.
The great news is Jay Hill has these guys flying around and playing great football. The bad news is you're probably going to have to pay Jay Hill to stay, because there's going to be people that are going to want to offer him head coaching jobs. He is playing so good. Okay. Second takeaway, the return of L.J. Martin and Hinkley Ropati in the run game. BYU puts up 5.4 yards per carry. They tote the rock. L.J. does a nice job. He has 2 touchdowns, 1 receiving, 1 rushing. Hinkley goes 9 for 65, 7.2 yards per carry. Did have that fumble, unfortunately. But the run game was better, Spence.
Absolutely. Could you not feel an immediate change in the confidence of having a veteran running back in the backfield? And LJ already made a play in the pass game. We just showed it to you. But just to have his presence back, he doesn't lose yards, Jerem.
No.
He does not lose yards.
No.
And I love that about him. And I thought Hinkley did a nice job on the edge. Aside from the fumble, really good things that were done by Hinkley Ropati. But LJ Martin, his toughness. And it was just nice to see that the ankle is in good shape.
Yep.
He doesn't seem to be hampered by that at all. The bye week was critical.
Yep.
So BYU over 5 yards a carry. That has not happened much this year.
No, I think Wyoming and
over 5 yards a carry. In fact, I think this was the best average for the running game all season.
Yeah, I'd have to look at Wyoming again, but I think so. It was a season high, we're told. Okay, Jake Retzlaff did a great job, and Aaron Roderick, of calling plays where they got the option look. Jake can keep it. Jake can pitch it. A lot of times, Jake was pitching it at the perfect time, and running backs were converting. Third down, still an issue, 4 of 11 there, 1 of 2 on fourth. But when you're creating takeaways and you're scoring, like, those things don't matter. Again, there's probably going to be a game, maybe not, there's probably going to be a game where BYU doesn't take it away twice and they give it away once or twice, right? Where you have to sort of, it's like, it's an unfair fight when you're so good you take it away. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
When it's a, what I mean is when it's like an even fight, where, or
can they,
or
win,
uneven,
can they win a game when they don't win the turnover margin?
When it's uneven, if you will. It'll be interesting. Both Jake Rutzloff and Klein Satake talked about LJ Martin being back after the game with you.
Just so much confidence in that guy. We have so much confidence in number 27. When he's in the backfield, we are ready to go.
We love all the other running backs too, but there's something about the experience and being able to be in the game and find ways to break tackles. That's what those guys are really good at, and they're not bad at catching the ball either out of the backfield.
Certainly. I mean, the multifaceted guys.
LJ has 2 receiving touchdowns this year, by the way, in 3 games.
Both are, from what I understand, healthy coming out of the game too, which was a little bit of a concern.
Didn't even need Sione Moa, by the way, who has looked like he's been as good as any of the other running backs.
Yes, and they told me, the staff told me that all the running backs were available if called upon. So we may see Sione Moa against Oklahoma State. We'll see, but the added rest doesn't hurt.
Deep room. You go, LJ Hinkley is your 1-2. I know Hinkley a couple years ago had some fumbling issues, and that's why he didn't get the ball a ton kind of in 22 towards ACL going in 23. I'm shocked we haven't seen a little screen game with Hinkley quite yet. Maybe that's a wrinkle they throw in later. Maybe Aaron Roderick's saving that one because he was really good in 22 against Stanford and Boise State in that.
I can count the number of screen passes I think that BYU has specifically designed this year on one hand. So, to your point, that hasn't been. So, maybe holding on to that a little bit.
A little control S.
Yeah, I'll save it for later.
Yeah.
BYU, uniquely, is the only team in the FBS division with a kickoff return for a touchdown, a punt return for a touchdown, a pick six, and a fumble recovery scoop and score touchdown. Unbelievable. The only team in the country that has done this. And, Jerem, 16 different Cougars have scored at least one touchdown this season.
Because Isaiah Glasker scores a touchdown. He's got the football in his hands. That means it was the pick six pick, which is awesome. What a performance of depth of Parker Kingston throwing one. And Harrison Taggart could have returned that fumble for a touchdown. And Jacob Robinson's close to picking that off and going all the way. Noah Fita makes a nice athletic play to get him down. By the way, Noah Fita, big fan. Doesn't complain. Doesn't yell at his teammates. Owns it. I love the way he comports himself. I'm a big fan of Noah Fita. BYU limited McMillan. Like, he's a top 15 pick in the NFL draft. Made him look like a everyday receiver out there. He had a few moments, right?
He had one really big play, but I think he was held to 72 yards receiving.
Like, most people are 72 yards. That's awesome for him. That's underwhelming. Incredible performance by BYU. The non-offensive touchdowns continue to happen. This is team football. If BYU continues to play like this, this seems obvious, but like this, it's all three facets. It's special teams, defense, and offense. Special stuff can happen.
Complimentary football.
You keep this going. We're talking about 10-plus wins this year.
Of note, Jake Retzlaff is still the leading rusher for BYU with 184 net yards.
I think that holds only one more game. I think LJ Martin overtakes that this Friday.
But Ropati and Martin have both missed multiple games.
Yes, 154 and 136.
Those two are averaging more per game than Jake. I think it's 50 and 45, speaking of Hinkley and LJ. Jake's averaging 30 yards a game.
Jake's sacks don't help, too, for three lost yards.
So that will eventually change, but here we are, 6-0 halfway through the season. Your quarterback is your leading rusher.
And it's fine. He's not putting himself in precarious positions, by the way. Speaking of quarterback, BYU's Jake Retzlaff, who competed on Yom Kippur, he said it was important for him to represent in that way.
And win.
I need to win the game, he said on ESPN's game day piece. Which brings us to our stat of the day.
It's the BYU Sports Nation stat of the day.
The only BYU quarterback to win on Yom Kippur. No, just kidding. Jake Retzlaff joins Mark Wilson, Robbie Bosco, Brandon Dillman, Max Hall, and Zach Wilson as the only QBs to start a season 6-0. Did we think that Jake Retzlaff's name would be included with those guys? That's pretty awesome for him.
No, the season of surprise continues.
Jake Retzlaff needs to be given, we're not Discover Card here, but let's give him some credit. He has been awesome. He has been great. Like, he's taking care of the football, and he's not turning it over, especially at home. Look at that TD to interception ratio. Look at the quarterback rating of 147. It's 15 over 5 for TDs and interceptions. He is running the ball effectively when needed to. Almost 240 a game. 60% complete. Like, what's not to love right now about what's happening with Jake Rutzloff?
3-1 touchdown to interception ratio.
That's where you like it. 3-1.
Listen, there are going to be more turnovers for BYU football this season.
Yeah.
And Jake is going to throw interceptions.
Yeah.
And there will be some moments. But can we
put this day!
Can we put to bed the idea that he can't take care of the ball anymore? I've seen enough.
It's not that he can't. It's just, will he continue? And he has shown that he's learned.
Steve Young called him the swashbuckler.
Yeah.
On Big Noon Kickoff, where he's like, yeah, he has these moments where it's like, he's trying to make a play and he's kind of being a maverick, but we're seeing fewer of those.
Yeah.
And Steve also added that, but he's learning as he goes. Like, he'll make the mistake and then he doesn't seemingly make the mistake again.
We haven't seen the SMU, I got to throw the ball as I'm going down guy. He's taking some sacks.
He's throwing the ball out of bounds a couple of times on Saturday. Nothing there.
No, Fifita knows how to throw the ball out of bounds. He threw a lot out of bounds in this game. It was crazy, which was interesting. 26 of 52. BYU did a nice job on him. But Jake continues to get better, man. And then after the after the game, Kalani Sitake talking about let's stop here. BYU bowl eligible.
Yes.
BYU bowl eligible. Like, I forgot, Spence, that was even a thing, because our vision has gone way higher, way further than just getting to a bowl game.
It's a byproduct.
Right. But we should note, BYU's bowl eligible, Doc.
6 games in.
Amazing.
Of note, BYU has, yes, of course, eclipsed last season's win total in 6 games. They were 5-7. They're already better than that.
Big 12 win total.
They have eclipsed the Big 12 win total.
Yep.
They have won a Big 12 road game.
They won another day game.
And they won a day home game.
That's 2 in a row.
And they won in October, where they have recently really struggled.
Yeah.
So, check. Trend breakers.
Yep.
That whole narrative continues. And weirdly, BYU had not played well sometimes coming off of a bye.
Yeah.
They won a game
off a bye. Kind of 500-ish, right?
Yes. Yeah. So they took care of business there. But let's kind of dive into the moment, as Jeremy was mentioning, of being bowl eligible. Naturally, I asked head coach Kalani Sitake and others about BYU being in that category after the win.
I mean, I'm just so proud of the guys, and this is what we wanted and this is what we expected, but we got more work to do.
So proud of these guys. Like, it's so fun that you could say we're going bowling in 6 games in the season. That's an incredible feat. But when you're doing that 6 games in the season, that means you got higher sights. That means you're looking to do even better things than just get to a bowl game.
Well, the bowl projections would suggest that there are national people that have higher sights for BYU as well.
Right now they're all playoff. Like, it's not anything else really right now for most people. I mean, there'll be others that say, oh, they're going to lose a couple and they go from there. Okay, after the game, Kalani Sitake also spoke about how his team has handled the national spotlight. We've talked about, hey, you got to handle success well.
A lot, and they did it.
Big Noon kickoff there and the whole deal, National Fox, you're undefeated. And he gave some advice to BYU fans.
I think our goal is to stay humble and stay hungry, and when you do that, good things happen. I think the team, it's worked for the team, it's allowed less stress in their lives, and I recommend all the fans do it too. Just enjoy the ride, guys. We're having a lot of fun right now.
Stay humble and enjoy the ride. Enjoy the moment.
Stay BYU thirsty, my friends, if you will.
So it was interesting. I guess my takeaway from the post-game commentary, collectively speaking, was BYU was happy, but there was this, okay, well, we kind of expected this now. What's next? Like, no satisfaction. Like, they were happy. Don't get me wrong. They were happy that they won the game. But the players are now to a point where they understand that there is something more to go get, clearly.
And that they didn't play their best game.
There were real frustrations.
I would say they played like a B-plus, A-minus game, but they want that A-plus. They want, well, why did they score 19? Why did we allow a 95-yard drive?
Game.
Yeah, and it's like, what? Are you serious? You just won by 22 against a team that won at Utah and that has, like, first-round, second-round guys scattered all over the squad with, like, 3 or 4 of them? Come on. I love that the standard's high because guess what? Preseason, it was pretty low outside the program, but internally they knew they could do a lot.
Great,
they're doing it.
Yeah, it was so Kalani, what he said, I believe him. I believe that is the team mentality. Like, they're grateful. But there was like they were perturbed a little bit, like, we could play better, and they're driving for something bigger.
Yes, and I think if they beat Oklahoma State this week and then they win in any fashion at UCF, they'll be more excited about like that win than the home Arizona. Like at home, they expect to win and win big at home. It's like, can you go on the road? Can you beat UCF, who's lost three in a row now, pulled KJ Jefferson, by the way, in a loss to Cincinnati? Can you win at Utah? You know, can you win at Arizona State, who's looking way better, 5-1 too? It's fun, but every week matters. How much more fun are we having than we did in Independence? Independence had its moments where it was really fun. But like the conference context is awesome, dude. Which brings us to the standings.
Right now, BYU three unbeaten teams in the Big 12, led by BYU, Iowa State, and Texas Tech.
I love that we went either alphabetical order or just this is BYU TV. BYU on top, baby.
6-0. Two teams are 6-0. BYU and Iowa State. Iowa State feels legit. They look like a complete football team.
BYU has a better resume, in my opinion, than Iowa State, though.
Texas Tech, I still have some question marks on. Not sure what to make of the Red Raiders. They snuck away from Arizona with a two-point win. They had that weird Arizona game against, who was it, Abilene Christian early in the season?
Went OT and won.
And held on.
That's the Oklahoma State-South Alabama game last year.
Yeah. They got blown out by Washington State.
Yeah,
so
that's kind of weird.
Not sure what exactly they are right now, but Iowa State and Texas Tech play each other, I think, in 2 or 3 weeks.
Interesting.
So we'll find out about that. But for the time being, three unbeatens.
Yeah.
And BYU, riding that wave of momentum, is now jumping up the rankings.
Let's go. Number 13 in the AP poll. Where does BYU deserve to be? Because some BYU fans are like, wait, why aren't they higher?
And I think that the beef comes from Iowa State being number 9. Because
why did Iowa State jump?
When you compare the resumes, who at this juncture has a better resume overall? Is it BYU or Iowa State?
It's BYU. The strength of record's 3. You have 2 wins against top 20 teams in the super ranking. I look at a bunch of these metrics, right? I've averaged it out. Both Kansas State and SMU are in the top 20 there. Kansas State and SMU are 10-0 against everybody not named BYU right now. They look amazing. Those wins are fantastic. BYU, to me, I looked at this. Spence, I think BYU could reasonably be as high as 7 if you wanted to really break it all down.
Which is why some of the national guys are putting them there.
I'm not that bugged about this, though, because if you continue to win, you will climb. I'm not that worried. Keep winning, keep climbing, all good.
To me, this is a product of the teams right in front of BYU over the weekend hanging on and surviving. But again, Iowa State jumps a little bit. I understand the frustration from BYU fans. Well, why? Like, if the resume is better and all these guys are saying, like, BYU's resume is better, why is BYU not being
awarded for that? BYU's resume is better than Penn State, who's at 3. I'm serious. It is. But it's okay. I don't need BYU to be – I get more value out of what's going to end up happening than I do right now. But I'm going to enjoy right now regardless. Does that make
sense? Absolutely. Okay. Our question of the day, where does BYU football deserve to be ranked in the national polls right now? They sit at number 13. Again,
by the way,
significant because BYU was picked to finish 13th in the conference.
Yes. Speaking of polls, BYU 10 out in the men's basketball AP poll.
So not ranked.
Didn't expect to be, but interest in that. If BYU gets out to a nice start, wins in San Diego, could be in the top 25.
How many of you thought BYU football would be ranked higher at any point than BYU basketball would be over the course of this athletic calendar year?
Wild.
You're raising your hand, you're lying.
You're a liar.
Yeah, so fun to watch this. Okay, CJ Wildboy on Instagram answers.
CJ what?
Wildboy.
Okay.
In response to where he believes BYU deserves to be ranked, he said top 10, number 12 at least.
I would have BYU around 9 or 10. I really would if I was voting.
Hashtag BYUS on an X, Facebook, and Instagram.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff.
Coordinator's Corner today. Special teams coordinator Kelly Papinga in the house. Defensive coordinator Jay Hill. 2 Eastern on the BYU TV app.
After the break, let's enjoy another winning edition of Madich Monday, shall we? Is Trevor all in, like full blue goggles in on the Cougars being the favorite in the Big 12? This is BYU Sports Nation.
Enjoy the ride, guys. We're having a lot of fun right now.
Don't be surprised if you see this team playing for a Big 12 title.
We can play with anyone, honestly.
America, this is how we do it.
And this is how we do it, live on a Monday in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton, teamed up once again with Jerem Jordan. Joining us now, as he does every Monday during the college football season, is ESPN's Trevor Maddich, college football insider, expert, analyst, all-around good man, and he is a BYU national champion for another Maddich Monday. Trevor, welcome back to BYUSN.
Great to be back, guys. It's been a party, hasn't it?
Everything's awesome, fun, to say the least. At the midway point of the season, BYU is 6-0, most recently handling that added national spotlight, not stumbling under that pressure and delivering, Trevor. So what are your takeaways from BYU in Arizona initially?
The biggest thing is points off turnovers. They've been doing this all year, and they just doubled down in this game. I mean, they had four takeaways on defense, and they turned it into 24 points. There was a interception at the 1 yard line that was hardly a short field, but they drove the ball 99 yards for a touchdown. So they took points away. They added points. That's seven off turnovers. Then there was an interception. They took over at the 9 yard line, punched it in for a touchdown, 14. Then there was a fumble recovery at the 15. Didn't do anything offensively, but kicked a field goal, 17 off of turnovers. And then Isaiah Glasker has that pick six at the end, 24 points off turnovers on a day when BYU scored 41 total and gave up only 19. And that kind of opportunistic play just keeps getting better and better.
Against Kansas State and now Arizona, the first two possessions of the second half result in turnovers and touchdowns. And it's like, what? This is a repeat. This BYU defense is the greatest thing about this team right now. If BYU forces two takeaways at least every game the rest of the season, Trevor, that's going to mean BYU is going to win 10, 11, maybe 12 games.
Right. And it's the takeaways, takeaway drives. And that's important from the opposing offense. But it's the fact that they are able then to turn them into points. Now, the pick sixes or the fumble recovery that they had for a touchdown, that's direct points, obviously. But the thing about this BYU offense is they've had trouble with the running game because of injuries. They got their top two guys back for this game against Arizona, and it really showed in a positive way. But the fact that the offense is able to take those takeaways and turn them into points. And that's when the offense is at its best. They come onto the field with expectation that they're now going to score, and they do most of the time. That's what's most impressive about that.
Trevor, at this point, what is the primary criticism of BYU football? And I ask that because Kalani Sitake said right after the game that he and Jay Hill were on the field and they were complaining about this and that, and he came over and he shared that with me in the post game. And I wondered, well, what is it that he is upset about or bothered by? And so I'm asking you the same question. What is the criticism of BYU at 6-0?
Well, there are a few things. One is that the defense, as opportunistic as it's been, is still allowing a lot of yards and a lot of third down conversions. These are things they can get better at. I mean, against Arizona, they allowed 58% third down conversions. That's losing football. But then they took the ball away, and then on three drives, they stopped them on fourth down. Arizona had 11 drives in this game. And of those, four takeaways, three stops on fourth down, and that's why they only scored 19 points. So on the one hand, it's phenomenal that the Cougars defense is getting all these key plays in key moments to keep teams out of the end zone. But at the same time, when some of those takeaways dry up, they're going to need to just get stops on third down. It's something they're capable of doing, but they need to stay in the drawing board and figure out ways to get those key stops. And offensively, it's the same thing. I mean, their third down conversion percentage for this game against Arizona was 36%. That's not winning football either. But they've had enough big plays, and they've had enough short fields that it hasn't shown up yet. Well, when they don't have as many big plays or short fields, they're going to need to grind it out. That 99-yard touchdown drive was very important because it showed that they can, that they're getting better at that. But these kinds of situations where the situational big plays don't come in bunches like they have the last few weeks, they'll need to improve on some of the basics on third down on both sides of the ball.
BYU's run game got the addition of L.J. Martin back since game two against SMU after he was injured. Hinkley Ropati as well was in there. 5.4 yards per carry. Right now it's 4.21 for the season, 78th in the country. So it's not the greatest number ever, but it's way better than it was last year. How much better was the run game against Arizona and perhaps moving forward?
It was everything. Arizona had to stop the run first. And with those two guys out, the third and fourth and fifth running backs that went in fought hard. They made some nice plays, but they didn't scare any defenses. Now, in this game, Rapati averaged over 7 yards per carry. LJ averaged 4.5 yards per carry, and he added a 33-yard reception in the passing game. So having both of those guys in and the different things that they can do at a high level is everything, because it makes everybody better. It slows down the pass rush because they have to worry about the run first. It makes the offensive line look better because the holes that open now are being hit on time instead of guys that don't have those reps, don't have that experience, or not hitting those holes maybe at exactly the right time. So the offensive line now is looking like it really ought to look from a standpoint of what they're accomplishing. Helps the quarterback, and that helps the receivers. And the strength of this offense, I still believe, is the group of pass catchers at wide receiver, tight end, and running back. And so being able to run the ball first is one of the fundamentals of football. BYU has won without that. And now that they've got that back against this Arizona defense, they did really well in the running game, and that establishes a foundation that everything else is built from.
ESPN's Trevor Maddich is on BYU Sports Nation. Now we turn the page to Oklahoma State making the trip to Provo for what is going to be maybe a cold, rainy Friday night. Temperatures expected in the high 40s, 50 degrees. So it's going to be very different than what BYU has played in. That said, Oklahoma State is a team that's lost three straight, Trevor. They look like a shell of themselves, or at least of what we expected them to be. But they've had a bye week to try and get right. So what do you make of this matchup with Oklahoma State and BYU?
This is a dangerous game for BYU, and there have been several dangerous games for BYU this season, and they've risen to the occasion every time. This is yet another one for a different reason. You mentioned that bye week. That's important because this Oklahoma State team came into the season as one of the most experienced teams in the nation in certain places. You start with their running game, one of the most experienced offensive lines in the nation entering the season. Ollie Gordon was an All-American running back last year. Things have not worked out for them this year. They haven't been performing at the same level. But it's largely the same group of key players that went to the Big 12 championship game against Texas last year. Now with a week off to be able to rest, recuperate, figure things out, and figure out how to deploy those assets again, is dangerous for BYU. Remember that last year, for the first three or four games of the season, their running back, Ollie Gordon, wasn't used all that much. They made some changes, and then he came out gangbusters and became the most productive running back in all of college football. They've got that same opportunity to reset now. And so I wouldn't look at Oklahoma State's record and say, yeah, well, they're not very good. This will be easy for BYU. BYU is undefeated. Yay, woohoo, no one can stop us. Well, no, it's not that way. If this is another quality win, if BYU is able to pull this off.
Bruce Mitchell started at center as a former center at BYU. How would you evaluate the third string's performance in a big win against Arizona?
He did well. The big key, if you come in off the bench as an offensive lineman, is how to define success. It's not necessarily to hit a guy and drive him 3 yards down the field every play. It is to get on the right guy with the right target. In other words, your head's on the right side, and then stay on your feet. If you fall down, you cause a pile, and a lot of bad things happen for the offense. If you stay on your feet and keep pushing, and just push him farther than he wants to go, even if he goes a direction you don't want him to go, then that gives the running backs an option to cut back around that block. It gives the quarterback the ability to move in the pocket and to still have time to throw the ball. And that's where I thought he did a good job. He stayed on his feet. He stayed in the fight. And he didn't put himself out of the fight by laying on the ground all game, which a lot of backup offensive linemen will do.
ESPN's Trevor Maddich still with us on BYU Sports Nation as we now look at the national polls. BYU in at number 13, and that number carries some significance, Trevor, because BYU is picked to finish 13th in the conference, and now here they are, number 13 in the entire country. Yet there are some BYU fans that feel like BYU should be in a better spot, almost a little disrespect. How do you view BYU at number 13, and should it be a little bit better of a national ranking based on their resume?
Well, first of all, I'm glad that the fans have those expectations right back up in the clouds again. That's a good thing. And they have those expectations because the team has given them reason to have those expectations. So that is good. I think BYU's ranked right now about where they ought to be. When you look at the three teams behind them, that's where the real danger is, because you're looking at Texas A&M, Boise State, Indiana, three teams that are playing exceptional football right now. And that's the danger of maybe getting bumped down. The teams ahead of them are also playing well, and you would have to look at those teams and have a clear reason why BYU should be ahead of them. But that's all just academic discussion, because if BYU finishes as one of the top five highest-ranked conference champions, if they get that far, they'll get an automatic berth to the playoff. If they finish 5-8, they'll get a home game in the playoff, it's seeded 5-8. If they are one of the top four highest-ranked conference champions, they get a bye-in the first round. So winning the conference is the first thing. Don't worry about where they're ranked right now. But then it's at large, because after those five highest-ranked conference champions, then you've got seven at-large bids. And right now, BYU is putting itself in position to get there. Remember this, though, that even if BYU finishes not as a conference champion, but at number 12 in the rankings, doesn't mean that they will be in the 12-team playoff. Because, say, the group of five champion, the highest-ranked group of five champion, is ranked behind number 12, they'll jump up to the 12 seed and bounce BYU back probably to 13 in that point. So really, you've got to be at number 11 in order to feel good for an at-large berth. All these things that I'm telling you are what matter a whole lot more than the rankings right now. The rankings right now are exciting, they're fun to look at, and the expectations for the fans are a great sign that this team is giving them reasons to believe in them.
Give me a sense of how big the blue goggles are for you right now. Because BYU 6-0, you were part of the only undefeated team in BYU history. You don't know you're going to go undefeated until you do it, right? But so far, so good for BYU. We're talking playoff. We're talking Big 12 contention. We're talking back six now as BYU's halfway through the season. How are you feeling about all this? And what's the reasonable record to expect in the final six for BYU? Because so far, it's been awesome.
And it has been. But my blue goggles are not big giant Elton John goggles. They're small round John Lennon goggles because of the way they've been winning. They have been playing clean football. I mean, this game against Arizona, they had one turnover to Arizona's four. They had three penalties to Arizona's eight. That's great. But there will be times when it doesn't work out that well, and they have to win other ways. They've been getting lots of takeaways, scoring lots of points off takeaways. There'll be times when they need to win in other ways. And so far, they've shown they've been able to do all of those things. But there's still a lot of improvement that they have the capability of making. And before those glasses grow from little bitty John Lennons to big giant Elton John, I want to see some of those other things come together. From a standpoint of the rest of the season, it's a tough schedule. There's some tough teams that are going to play BYU tough, because all of a sudden BYU went from being the team everybody would get well on, which was last year down the stretch. BYU had injuries. They, you know, lost their last five straight. And every team that they played were thinking, okay, here comes BYU. Good. We're going to win this game. Now they're thinking, oh, look, BYU, they're ranked in the top 15. They're everybody's talking about them. They're undefeated right now. We're going to show that we're better than them, and we're going to whip them. And it's going to be, if not their Super Bowl, certainly their AFC championship game. And so all of a sudden, BYU is not sneaking up on anybody. And so that makes it all the more difficult for them to finish undefeated. However, if they continue to win the turnover battle, win the penalty battle, and turn takeaways into points, they will be there with everybody, and they have a chance to beat everybody on their schedule. So those goggles do have a little corner that are deep royal blue, a rich royal blue, that says there is undefeated regular season on the table for this team. Now, that's as a fan, I would be thinking. As an analyst, I'm thinking, okay, it's possible, but they got a tough one coming up this week.
Fantastic stuff with the always educated and well-incited Trevor Maddich of ESPN. We appreciate the time, Trevor. As always, great stuff.
Thanks, guys.
You got it. BYU number 13, but he's got the small John Lennon.
Imagine BYU undefeated.
Now, at what point do Trevor Maddich and the rest of the national pundits start to put on the bigger Elton John blue goggles?
Maybe
before the Utah game.
Going in Salt Lake.
Beat Oklahoma State. It is the definition of a trap game. Definition 100%. Of a trap game.
Oh, they stink. They've lost three in a row. Ollie Gordon, the second Doak Walker Award winner, hasn't run for 100 outside of the one FCS game at the beginning. Nope.
Off a bye week as well.
Nope.
No business beating BYU in Provo, which makes it a
big
game.
Favorite finally.
Yes.
Nope.
Yep.
After further reviews, got a lot to break down. There were some great plays. Great plays in the Arizona game. 7 Eastern coming up tomorrow on the BYU TV app.
After the break, we recap a very busy weekend in the BYU sports world, of course, featuring BYU's latest win, Cougars in the NFL, and yet another dominant showing from BYU cross country. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer. He is Jerem. Let's visit on this date in Cougar football history, shall we, as we continue our celebration of 100 seasons of BYU football. Where will we rewind to today?
2016, BYU hosting Mississippi State. Just the second SEC home game out of the three all-time that have ever happened at BYU. First quarter, Taysom Hill connects with Hunter Marshall for the touchdown. Noice. BYU up 7. Fourth quarter now. Taysom found Ronai Laulupututau. 15-yard TD, third and goal to tie the game at 14. Then Taysom, Jamal Williams, and Ronai Laulupututau makes a one-handed catch here in a moment that is, like, wild. This is Tanner Baldry. We're into overtime now.
Hey, Tanner Baldry! Get in the end zone, man! And then BYU needing to make a defensive stand. They do.
Brad Warner!
SEC! SEC! BYU and Fred Warner, who was at the game, among others.
Yes, he was.
On Saturday, great to see him.
Yeah, it was good to see
again.
Fred, yeah.
They beat Mississippi State 28-21.
Awesome.
Now let's roll out your Monday headlines.
Number 14, BYU football beats Arizona 41-19, 6-0, bowl eligible. Quarterback Jake Retzlaff led the offense 218 yards, 2 touchdowns. Parker Kingston caught a TD and threw for a TD. LJ Martin, 2 touchdowns in his return from injury, 1 receiving, 1 rushing. And the BYU defense forced 4 turnovers, including this pick 6 from Isaiah Glasker. Yes, Gus Johnson. This Friday, the Cougars host Oklahoma State, currently a 9-point favorite. BYU 6-0 against spread, by the way.
Let's go. After the victory, BYU football climbing one spot to number 13 in the new AP poll. The Cougars remain the second highest ranked team in the Big 12 behind number 9, Iowa State. BYU is one of just 11 undefeated teams remaining in the entire FBS. BYU's game at UCF, by the way, has moved to the 6-day selection window for a kick time, so we won't know today. We'll need another week. They will learn that kick time sometime next Sunday.
Cougars in the NFL. Tyler Allgeier, 18 rushes, 105 yards, his third career 100-yard game, a touchdown in the Falcons' 38-20 win over Brady Christensen and the Panthers. Chris Brooks, 4 carries for 21 yards, and the Packers' 34-13 win over the Cardinals. Zane Anderson added a tackle for the Packers in the win. Kairos Tonga, a season-high 5 tackles for the Cardinals in the loss.
More Cougars in the NFL. Kyle Van Noy had 2 tackles for the Ravens in a very entertaining 30-23 win over the Washington Commanders. Jamal Williams, 2 carries, 7 yards, and a Saints 51-27 loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Ryan Rico punted 6 times, an average of 46.3 yards, with 4 downed inside the 20. In a Bengals win, I repeat, the Bengals actually won a game.
Did he keep the job then?
He has kept the job.
That's
Jerry.
Awesome. I love that. Men's basketball, 10 out in today's preseason AP poll. 6 Big 12 teams are ranked, by the way. Kansas 1, Houston, Iowa State, Baylor, Arizona, all in the top 10. Cincinnati, the Big 12 6th team in the AP poll. BYU ranked number 21 in the preseason. Ken Palm.
We care
rankings.
More about that anyway.
We kind of do, right? 8th among Big 12 teams.
Men's basketball announced over the weekend the hiring of Justin Young as the director of recruiting. Young is, yes, Kevin Young's brother and a well-known figure in the high school basketball recruiting world.
Huge get for BYU, love that one.
Incredible. Danielle LaFada, named the director of nutrition for BYU men's and women's basketball programs. LaFada comes to Provo after spending the past 4 seasons as the director of performance nutrition for the Phoenix Suns of the NBA and the Phoenix Mercury of the WNBA. I wonder if she had a connection to Kevin Young there.
Dude, you look at NBA in the strength and conditioning room, NBA with mental strength and sports psychology, NBA in nutrition, NBA with the coach itself. Wow, pretty awesome. Number 23, women's volleyball. Falls in 5 sets to number 17, TCU.
The 5-set loss is unfortunately a thing.
Yeah, career high, 18 kills from Brielle Kembor. She was amazing. Cougars have 5 of its 6 losses are in 5 sets,
yes.
4 of which are by 2 points. Brutal. Cougars play at Iowa State Wednesday.
Number 2, BYU men's cross country. dominated the Dellinger Invite in Eugene, Oregon over the weekend, sweeping the event, meaning BYU's top five runners finished 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
They got 15 points, which is the max. 1 + 2 + 3 + 4.
It's unbelievable. It's like the perfect game.
It is literally a perfect
in,
score.
In cross country, yes.
Yes.
Cougars' top seven runners all finished in the top 10.
That's even better. That's great. Tonight, women's soccer at Kansas State, 8 Eastern on ESPN+. Cougars still seeking a first road win of the season. I'm calling it. Tonight's the night.
Let's go. Good luck to BYU Women's Golf, who teed off earlier this morning at the Dell McNamara Invitational in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. After the break, how did Ashley Hatch, the GOAT of BYU Women's Soccer, fare in her Big 12 Pick'em segment? It was another chaotic weekend. She might have delivered.
She did
and
pretty
then
good.
She scored a goal in the game. Karma.
Hey.
This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. Let's recap the weekend in the Big 12 and recap our Big 12 Pick'em segment. Our featured guest on Friday was Ashley Hatch of the National Women's Soccer League's Washington Spirit. And we should note, she had the karma. She scored a goal
hey.
Over the weekend against Racing Louisville.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
Louisville.
There's that. But did she deliver in her picks, Jerem?
Let's find out.
Let's go.
Arizona State beats Utah, number 16, now out of the polls. 27-19, Cam Rising, first start of quarterback since week two. 16-37, three INTs. Hurt his ankle early, did not look good. Cam Scadaboo, 26 touches, 199 total yards, two touchdowns. Arizona State 2-1 in league, Utah 1-2 in league. Both Ashley and I picked Arizona State. You picked Utah. On to the next one. Cincinnati beats
I should have learned my lesson.
Cincinnati beats UCF 19-13. That was a surprise.
Shocker.
KJ Jefferson benched for the Knights. Ja'Kari Brown, quarterback. Brendan Sorsby, 241 for UC. Had a touchdown passing and rushing. Cincinnati 2-1 in league. UCF 1-2.
What's
in
going
the
on
12.
With the Golden Knights?
Ashley had Cincinnati. You and I had UCF. We missed out.
She just said, she shrugged her shoulders and said, that's my pick. That's Cincinnati.
On
my pick.
That was a big one.
It was a good weekend for Cincinnati. The Bengals, too. Ashley knows. Okay.
Bearcats in the top 25 in the eight people.
Number 11, Iowa State. 28, West Virginia. 16. Rocco Becht and the Cyclones are rolling. He had 265 yards and a touchdown. Carson Hansen, three rushing touchdowns for Iowa State. They picked off West Virginia's Garrett Green twice. So Iowa State 3-0 in the Big 12. They're 6-0 just like BYU. Both Ashley and I picked West Virginia. She's moving to West Virginia, she revealed.
Yes, she is.
Jeremy, the only one picked Iowa State.
Yeah.
So you win there.
Yeah.
Okay. Kansas State. Man, they survived.
Good game.
A crazy rally from Colorado to win 31-28. Avery Johnson finding Jace Brown for a game-winning 50-yard touchdown pass with 2 minutes left. So Kansas State stays in the hunt for a Big 12 title. We all thought K-State would take care of business in Boulder, and ultimately they did.
Yep.
And then, of course, we all three thought BYU would take care of business against Arizona. So check, check, check. That means that you and Ashley both go 4-1 over the weekend. I was a 2-3 picker this week, but you know what? All good. I'm just glad Ashley is the winner. By winning percentage, she is our
number one
celebrity picker thus far.
Nice. USA. USA.
Yeah. Well, for both her and Kenneth Rooks, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. By the way, you and I are only separated by 2 games. I'm up 2 games in the overall. That's pretty wild.
We were tied going into this last week.
What is it? 39 games picked. We're only separated by 2. That's wild, dude. Okay, BYU football with Kalani Sitake. You can check it out tomorrow night, 8:30 Eastern on the BYU TV app. The coach, pretty excited about what's going on. Check it out tomorrow.
Where do you think BYU deserves to be ranked in the national polls? Are you okay with number 13? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our question of the day. Where does BYU football deserve to be ranked in the national polls right now? APD222 on X says, number 10, BYU has the third best strength of record in the country, but still have room to prove things nationally.
Not too worried about it. Continue to win. BYU will move up.
Our lead voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated from A. Hodges 29 on X, who says, I want this team to keep playing with a chip on their shoulder. I don't mind 13. Let's keep proving them wrong.
Yeah, BYU should be unranked. No, play like that, right? Mentally of like, they don't think we can do it. What's the thing that BYU is going to use this week? The loss last year, perhaps?
However you can get an edge. get an edge.
Because
yes,
it's not being a nine-point favorite. It's not being number 13. It's not being 3-0 in league and 6-0. It's revenge for last year's
revenge for what happened last year.
Loss.
You kept us out of a bowl game last year. That mentality for the guys.
Yes.
All right. Our thanks to today's Rise of Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
The whole game day experience. Big noon kickoff. All the NFL guys, the recruits in the house, the Olympians, the game itself. It was awesome, Seth.
It was fantastic. Our thanks to today's guest, ESPN's Trevor Maddich.
Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time.
For Jerem Jordan, I am Spencer Linton. Shout out to C. Stew. If you know, you know. Go Cougs.